Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 21. I'd like to read verses 4 through 9. We find here a familiar passage of Scripture, I'm sure. The Scripture says in verse 4, "And they," that is, the people of God, the Jews, "had journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread.' And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Now the nation of Israel had seen some miraculous deliveries by Almighty God. They had been delivered by His mighty hand out of the nation of Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea on dry land. God had sent manna, quail, had given water from the rock. Surely with such manifestations of grace, one would think that they would never doubt Him again. But oh, how easily we forget, and how simply we began to walk away. I would like to consider four things today out of this passage of Scripture. Number one, the deceitfulness of sin. Number two, the just judgment of that sin. Number three, the evidence of an awakened heart towards sin. And number four, the deliverance from sin. Now, I would like to say that this passage of Scripture, though it is one that was written many years ago, is relevant for today. For if there is no relevance for today, and it be merely history, truly what good do we find in it? Let's consider first of all the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, how easily we can look at the nation of Israel and see how they rebelled and doubted Almighty God. And we judge the hardness of their heart. But honestly, would we not have done the same thing? How blind we are by nature to the evil of our heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" This heart, this natural heart I'm talking about, this heart with which we're born, in Adam, this old nature, it doubts God. The children of Israel ask, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" This old heart is unthankful. They said, "We have no bread, we have no water." And they had been eating manna from heaven and drinking water from the rock that followed them. This old heart is disrespectful. They spake against God and His spokesman, murmuring against Him, which is actually an attempt to find fault with God. This old heart is ignorant. As they traveled, which to them was going in the wrong direction, they were angry at God's order of direction and providence. But the most arresting evidence of the deceitfulness of man's natural heart is how honest a man actually is toward God. The Scripture says, "Out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaks. Listen to the words of this nation as they spoke against God and against Moses. Our soul loatheth this light bread. Now, this light bread that the nation of Israel referred to was actually the manna that came down from heaven in the book of Exodus, chapter 16. It says that when the dew that lay was gone up, I'm reading in verse 14 of Exodus 16, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Now, in the 35th verse of that same chapter, it says the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now, this manna from heaven was actually described by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, in verse 32, where he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now, when the nation of Israel spoke against this light bread, actually within their heart, what they were saying is, we loathe, we hate, we detest the Lord Jesus Christ. This is proven in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 9, where the scripture says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. John 3:19 says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. When they spoke against that light bread, actually, they spoke against Christ. Then let's notice, secondly, the just judgment of their sin. Ezekiel 18:4 says, behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Why is this? Well, 2 Samuel 23:3 says, he that ruleth over all men must be just. Job 4:17 says, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall man be more pure than his Maker? Because he is a just God, he will by no means clear the guilty. That's recorded in Exodus 34:7. The nation of Israel justly deserved God's judgment. Well, thirdly, let's consider the evidence of an awakened heart. In verse 7, back in our passage, we find where there is a realization of guilt. The nation of Israel said to Moses, we have sinned and have spoken against the Lord and against thee. This, I'm speaking of repentance, is the gift of God. Ezekiel 36:27 says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. The realization of guilt is a marvelous work of God's grace. There's a bowing to God's means of deliverance. Pray unto the Lord. An awakened heart recognizes its need of an intercessor. Moses here is a picture of Christ, the priest of his people. In Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 17, we find the one of whom Moses is the picture. The scripture says, wherefore in all things it behooved him, that is Christ, to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. God Almighty, who cannot look upon sin without judging it, must be approached by absolute holiness. And in our final point, let's consider the deliverance from sin. God told Moses, back in our passage, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." What does this picture? Here we find Moses being told to make a serpent, something that resembled that which was biting the people. Why was this? Here we find, in type, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being made sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for his people. And in John chapter 3 and verse 14, the scripture says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Here we find a wonderful picture of the imputed guilt of God's elect being placed upon Christ. He became that which was killing them. And what were they to do? The scripture says, "Whosoever looketh." A look. No stipulation as to how far away they were. Just look. By faith upon that serpent of brass. Just look? Why, yes. For if a man can look, it's evident that he is no longer blind, spiritually blind, but now has eyes to see. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, the scripture says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." If a man can look, he will. Look to the serpent, was the command. Look to Christ today. Look to him by faith. Look to him for deliverance. Look to him, and be ye saved. Oh, how evident is our natural heart to doubt God, to be unthankful, to be disrespectful, ignorant, and to say within our heart, "I loathe this light bread," and to realize the justice of God's judgment, but then to consider the evidence of our awakened heart, to cry out, "We have sinned." Pray for us. Pray that the Lord would remove that which is biting us, this sin. And then to realize that a look to Christ, a look by faith, deliverance from the sting of sin, is our only hope. Until next week at this time, thank you for tuning in.